I think, gosh, what is this, like episode 212 or something like that at this point. And I've gotten a large amount of emails in the last week of people asking certain questions or looking for certain types of interviews that contain certain types of things. I really wish I was a lot better at cataloging a lot of this stuff. So be that as it may, but I do love hearing from listeners. So if you've got a question, send me a DM on Facebook, Instagram, email, whatever. Eddie@themindandfitnesspodcast.com. And I'd love to hear from you. So, gosh, the last couple of weeks have really been full on the show. 2 weeks ago, Jeannie Colwin came and did the breathwork class. That was when my house was ravaged with COVID. And then last week, Nicole Sachs and I were on the show talking about unwinding of the pandemic, unwinding COVID. And that was a real treat. Nicole's wonderful. So if you haven't heard that show, that episode, go back and listen to it. And today, because so next week, there's going to be another interview. It's actually me getting interviewed on somebody else's new podcast, which is going to be really cool. So I thought that this week it would be a lot of fun if I just shout out to the Facebook group. And if you're not at the Facebook group, this is where I get, usually if there's going to be a solo show, this is where I get the ideas. I either ask people for questions or topics or something like that. So I put out, what's a topic of interest for this week's podcast? Not necessarily a question, but a topic to expand upon. And Karen wrote a dynamite one. So shout out to you, Karen. But the impossible task of helping others understand they may be experiencing TMS and the possibility that some folks are not wired to accept a TMS diagnosis. I think it is absolutely true, and it is possible that maybe some people are not wired to accept a TMS diagnosis. However, I think I believe in enough, or I do believe enough in neuroplasticity to say that that is not a absolute. In fact, if anything, if I've learned anything along this TMS Dr. Sarno journey that started almost 5 years ago, it's that there are no more absolutes. There really aren't. And particularly me living in the absolute Western medical model of so long and trying to justify injuries or issues or pain or whatever to some kind of really roundabout way really was not serving me really well. And an interesting thing got brought up on one of the other TMS pages in the last few days, and they were saying that they went in and had emergency back surgery, and they had thought this was TMS for a long time. They had emergency back surgery. They waked up feeling okay or woke up feeling okay. And they had said, you know, how can I ever basically like live with myself knowing that maybe this wasn't TMS? So here's the thing is that it very well still could have been TMS, right? You had a back surgery in the last couple of days. Who knows if it's going to work or not work? And then who knows if you might develop a skin problem or a stomach problem or whatever in the future. But I said the most important thing is just to remember that whether it is or whether it is not something that you want to consider TMS, recovery of any kind can heavily be influenced by emotions. And let me give you an example is that if you go and have a tremendously hard workout or you do a tremendously hard hike or whatever the case may be, and if you anticipate this is going to be a terrible experience and you're going to hurt so bad when it's over and da-da-da-da-da-da, it probably will. And so how does it align with your expectation? Is it a huge deal or is it really no big deal? Because the more that you can say and actually really feel and believe that something is not a big deal and is not the end-all be-all, probably the better it's going to turn out for you, I guess is kind of how I think about that. So again, the impossible task of helping others understand that they may be experiencing TMS. So it is an impossible task. And in a lot of ways, you know, when I first learned about this stuff, I post on social media way too much, but if you had the time and you were to go all the way back to when I first discovered this stuff, which would have been the end of June or early July, I think it was the end of June of 2017, and you look at the big difference in posts that I would make just before that and then just after that. Now, the just after that, constantly I'd be talking about this new thing that I discovered and how I'm starting to get back to doing the things that I love to do after so many months of not doing anything. So I posted about this a lot. And it's amazing. I could post a picture of my dog peeing or pooping in the yard. 50 likes, right? People are commenting about it, think it's the greatest thing ever. And then I post something about TMS, one or two people maybe like it. There might be some people that write some really like vicious comments about how it's not true and all this kind of stuff. And so I really kind of stopped talking about it out loud. And that's still pretty true. I don't really talk a lot about this stuff out loud. I might once a month or once every other month when I'm feeling especially sentimental about something or some kind of a big milestone or a really awesome interview that I think that I did, I might bring this kind of stuff up. But, you know, for the most part, I do sort of keep it to myself because I think that it is sort of an impossible task. The opportunities that I see where I could talk to somebody about TMS. Let me give you a good example. There's a friend of mine named Emily a couple of years ago at my gym, and I had noticed for months that Emily was wearing a like a wrist brace, like a brace for her wrist whenever she would lift or work out in general. And I noticed that the lifts that she did had been quite a bit different from what they had been in the months prior. And didn't say anything about it. And then I can't remember how we got around to talking about injuries or issues or something. And I just asked about her wrist, and she had said she didn't really know how it came along. And I think that she even went on to say that wondering if it was her Fitbit or her Apple Watch or whatever sort of a fitness watch it is that she wears. I started talking about this Sarno thing, and I was like, you know, you can think this is totally crazy or whatever the case is. Here's some stuff that's really helped for me. And some of the science behind it. Here's a book that I would recommend, and I'd really leave it at that. So in very sparing cases, I will do something like that where I will make the overture. But I've had a lot of people come out of the woodwork that I know that I did not know were having an injury or an issue, and they'll send me a message and say, hey, I was really struggling. Like, there's this woman, Rachel. She's like a world champion power lifter and rower now, and she wrote me a really nice message a year or so ago just saying that, hey, I was having these issues in my elbow or bicep or shoulder or something like that. And now it's gone and I'm back. I'm competing now. And she set all these records on fire with these various types of things. I had a mom of a kid. So I got a message from this kid, Brandon, somewhere in the Midwest, college athlete, college or high school, can't remember. Who had messaged me a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and had said, I'm having all of these issues. The doctor thinks I have compartment syndrome. What do I do? My high school career is over, whatever. And I just talked to him for like an hour. Didn't hear from him again. You know, a month or 2 months or 3 months had gone by. And I heard from his mom, who said, hey, Brandon's back to doing everything that he loved to do. And I just wanted to thank you for talking to him. You know, he's back. He's an athlete again. He's not having those issues anymore. So those are usually the scenarios or the situations where I find myself injecting in is when people are coming to me, because I don't usually outwardly go to them anymore because I've learned my lesson, right? I talked earlier about having people make comments when I would talk about this stuff on social media, right? I've also brought this up to like family members before who will say things like my pain is real and my herniated disc really hurt and life isn't stressful right now and all this. And it's just, you know, taking it at such surface value. And I think maybe there's a couple of things going on. Maybe on one hand, I get a little bit of that like imposter syndrome thing going on where it's like, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. Who am I to talk to them about that? But at the same time, I have been doing this podcast now for 212 episodes, and I've talked to some of the brightest people on the planet that do clinical research on this stuff, and they certainly have spoken to it, and I'm simply taking or aggregating their messaging together to form this podcast. So sometimes I'll make a recommendation to listen to a particular episode, but I think it's really tough, Karen. The impossible task of helping others understand. Sometimes they just have to be ready for it when they're ready. And I think maybe just taking a very active, passive approach, just in the sense of like, hey, I've noticed that this thing is going on. I had an issue, a chronic issue that really sent me down a rabbit hole. I read this book or I watched this movie or I watched this video and it really helped me. Check it out if you want to. And if you've got more questions, let me know. And leave it at that. You've done everything that you can do. If you go shoving it down the throat of people, they're very, very resistant to it. And you're just going to end up in this tremendous cycle of frustration around being so passionate about this thing that you know will work. But if they fight you on it, ultimately, it's more about them. They kind of have to be ready. Because if you would have told me about Dr. Sarno or TMS stuff a year prior, I would have thought that you were absolutely full of it. So that's one thing to keep in mind, too, is like, if you think back to all the different points of your life, would you have always been accepting to hear about mind-body syndrome? And the answer is probably not. Would you have always been ready? Because again, I know that I wouldn't have been ready a year or even a few months before that. I bet it was probably 6 or 7 months before I found Sarno's book that a doctor had said something along the lines of, I find that the less that we think about this stuff, the more it'll go away, or something like that. And I was really insulted because, again, all that I heard was, oh, so you're saying it's all in my head, which that's not what he was saying at all. But I took it at really like face value and put my own spin on it and, you know, gave myself the victim mentality and all that kind of stuff, which I think is a really big part of the equation here, is that if you do know somebody that continues to struggle with different issues, it seems like they always have a headache or they always have an injury or they always have some kind of a new issue or a new medicine that they're taking. They're checking in at doctor appointments on Facebook. Like, we all know people like this. And the victimhood and the victim mindset is not, God, I hate the word mindset, the victimhood and the victim frame of mind that a lot of people really get stuck in, it's very unconscious. So, you know, it's not like they're trying to do that. It's just something that they've been used to. They've been telling themselves this story for a long time that they are the victim or they are the underdog or bad things always happen to them or whatever the case is. I mean, Brad Gutting, who I've interviewed a few times on this show, him and I were talking yesterday about like a big piece of the puzzle for him was understanding that he really wasn't that unique or special or anything like that. And I remember this phrase my mom sent to me when I had first called after I got my MRI several years ago on my shoulder, and they told me that I had a humeral avulsion. What was it? Humeral avulsion of the glenohumeral ligament, which was, it's called a Hagel lesion. And if you Google it, at least at the time, incredibly rare, incredibly rare. And then when a doctor looked at my neck and did some imaging on my neck and said that I had this like auxiliary scalene or accessory scalene, and only 6% of the population have that, and I like call and tell my mom that, she'd be like, oh, of course, you know, you have the worst luck. Yeah, because I always acted like I had the worst luck and like I was very much an individual and I was super special and very unique and all this stuff, a delicate flower. But a big part of this recovery came in the sense that I'm not all that unique. I'm not all that special. There's probably 1,000 other people in the world that are just like me, maybe more. And that's a big piece of it too. Just knowing that you're really just you know, there's 7 billion people on the planet. There's a lot of people that probably think just like you. So to try and think that you have the worst luck or you have bad luck or you were dealt a bad deck, certainly some people are. And there are people that grow up in the worst circumstances and they do have bad things happen to them. But I know that you know the kind of people that I'm talking about that sort of see themselves as being a victim over and over and over and over and over again. And I think that sometimes they have sort of control over that because it's more about how you perceive the event. And again, not speaking to people that have horrific things happen to them, because certainly they do. And certainly people do. But there's a large percentage of people that I know, and I was certainly one of them, that I just always felt like things, like bad things were happening to me. So the second part of Karen's message was the possibility that some folks are not wired to accept a TMS diagnosis. Again, I have too much belief in neuroplasticity to say that there's an absolute behind that, that there are certain people that just will not accept a TMS diagnosis. Because I think that there's so many stories that I've heard of people that were like handed a Sarno book and threw it against a wall and it broke because they were so resistant to the idea, this could never happen to me. So I think that that exists in a lot of us. I think that probably anybody that's listening to this has been somebody that absolutely would have not believed in this if you asked them months or years prior. So it's just sort of a fact of all of this. I think that everybody really can eventually be wired. Maybe it's not hardwired. Maybe it's Wi-Fi and they'll get there eventually. But I think that everybody is capable of doing this stuff, but they have to be able to let their ego sort of dissolve and recognize and be able to say out loud, hey, everything that I thought that I knew, I really didn't know. And in fact, I don't really know shit. And I think that's a big part of it, a big piece of it. And that's really kind of a big part of the puzzle, is being able to do that. Scotty went on and commented, hi, Scotty, shout out. Great topic, especially when someone argues, so then why did physical therapy work for me in resolving pain if I had TMS? It's a great question. So there is a couple of reasons why that could be the case. An acute injury, you could get some certain benefit from from physical therapy. Like, let's say that I had that skateboarding accident a couple of years ago. I was podcasting about this at the time, where I was trying to learn how to skateboard and I wiped out. My ankle was like destroyed. It hurt. I've dislocated my shoulder. Broken fingers. I've broken toes. What else? I guess that's kind of it. I've torn muscles for sure. That ankle sprain, which ended up just being a sprain, was the most painful physical injury I've ever experienced, bar none. I've got like bone chips in my elbow from falling on a one wheel last year. That did not hurt anywhere near what that ankle felt like. In the end, I ended up tearing two ligaments and dislocating my fibula. No break, and the ligament tears were not, they weren't clean tears. They weren't all the way through. So just a matter of letting them heal. But I decided to not see anybody. Somebody's at my door. Okay, they're leaving. They're sure talking really loud. I don't know who that is. But anyway, so if I would have went to see a physical therapist or something like that right away, I probably could have shaved a couple weeks off of my recovery and, you know, is what it is. But I just gave myself rest and just thought, hey, like, you know, this will resolve TMS-wise. And that's true. Like, the pain was gone pretty quickly. The pain was gone within a few days, but it was function that I was really missing. And I thought that this is just a TMS thing where I need to journal harder, or I need to do whatever. And I didn't go and see a specialist about it. I eventually did go and see a friend of mine. Her mother is a physical therapist, and I went down and saw her, and she showed me this enormous amount of swelling, which I thought was like, you know, because inflammation can appear with TMS. So it can. So I just kind of thought that it was that, but no, that was in fact a bone. My fibula had glided in front of the lateral malleolus, and she helped restore it back. It was just some glides. There was a little bit more elasticity in some of the soft tissues. And so once she put it back and then we taped it, and I would just retape it every day for, I don't know, 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever, like I was totally better. And if I went and saw her right away, then she would have identified that immediately. And it could have been a couple weeks early. So that's like an acute injury. However, for something chronic, like we know that neural circuits is really the biggest part of the equation here. So if you've had a chronic back issue, let's say for years and years and years, and then you go and see a physical therapist and your back pain resolves, like this is a friend of yours and you feel comfortable asking this. So, okay, so your back pain resolved. It had gone on for several years. Then you went and saw them and then you had a great outcome and 100% pain-free in your back. I would say with almost certainty, not 100%. It bothers me sometimes when I do these certain things. So we talk about conditioning. And if for some reason they don't have that and they say that their back pain completely resolved, oh, well, like, so you have no pain anywhere going on in your body or no issues or no health issues or allergies or asthma or food allergies or anything like that. 100% of the time there will be something. So yes, they went to physical therapy and it resolved their pain, for a chronic issue again, because acute and chronic, I want you to make sure that you, know that those are separate things. And they're going to have something. How can you explain that this may be because of the placebo effect and that the real reason they have healed is not what they believe without offending them? They don't really need to know, I guess. It depends on how willing are you to have a fight and duke it out with somebody that probably won't believe what you're saying anyway. Like I said, I don't get really any pleasure in that at this point in time. So I just don't engage with people on that particular topic. So anyway, this is all I got. Karen, fantastic topic. That came in, I mean, very soon after I posted the question 7 hours ago. I think you commented 5 minutes after I posted it. So great job to you. Thank you, Scotty, for the addition. Hope everybody has a great week. I'll be back next week with an interview.